Welcome to the Church Multiplication Collective podcast. This is a podcast designed to help you multiply like never before. I'm Ed Love, and I oversee the Church Multiplication Collective, which is an intentional community of Wesleyan leaders committed to discovering, developing, and deploying workers for the Lord's harvest. And I'm excited today to be with Pastor Dwayne Bauer, who is serving in Portland, Michigan, at Epic Community Church. I'm really excited because this story is kind of connected to my story. It was back in 2006 when we, my wife and I actually planted Epic Church, and then Pastor Dwayne actually followed me up there just after year five, and I was sent out to plant again a church called the Well Church. And Dwayne picked up the reins at Epic, and
big shoes to fill.
Oh man! And he has done a fabulous job. It is so cool to watch the transition of a church plant going through its first pastor transition. It's a tough thing to navigate, but really excited to watch Epic continue the mission that it was originally set out for. And Pastor Dwayne, thanks for being with us here on the show today.
Thank you for having me, my friend. It's good to be here.
It is good. We've got a good topic today to talk about because you've carried on the multiplication vision that Epic started with. And there's some really cool things that have happened even recently where we've seen the vision just take root and it's unfolded and just a lot of fruit just coming out of it. And so we want to get into that part of your story. And this is kind of our theme for today. If I had one for this podcast, it would be how a mid-sized church can continue to multiply and how a church, one of the strengths of Epic has been that from the beginning, it's always just kept a culture of multiplication, like that never left, and it's only grown. And Dwayne, you've just been a champion of that. And so that's a really unique topic to talk about, and it's hard to accomplish. There's a lot of leaders and church multipliers, church planners who might feel like they, and maybe the board is on board with church multiplication and planting new churches and setting aside money for that. But the whole church may not feel on board. And so we want to talk about how to get more ownership around this topic. And I think that's going to be powerful. So Dwayne,
great topic.
Let's jump right in. Just give us a little bit of your background, a little bit of your story, and fill us in on how you came into this ministry journey. Because it wasn't what you set out to do in life.
No.
Slapped you and said, get over here and lead this down.
Let me tell you, and I'll try to be brief, but I had worked in the marketplace for over a dozen years or so. And in fact, I was doing my dream job. I worked in information technology, and that's what I knew I wanted to do from the time I was in middle school. And I went to school for it, and I was doing it. Until God grabbed a hold of me. I became a Christ follower later on in life, in my late 20s. And I felt God calling me to be more active in his service and on his mission. And that's when I found Epic. And I think Epic was, at that time, because it was a church plant and it was a relatively new church plant, it just needed anything that I could provide. And it was the perfect time for me in my life. And so I gave myself over to that, which then giving myself over to God's mission ended up calling me into ministry. And in God's timing, I ended up, ultimately becoming the pastor of the place where God was calling me into mission, which is a pretty unique story, I think.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Who let you do that?
I mean, I came alongside, Ed, you were just great at, I think, helping me discern that call in my life and that call to something greater. And it was that dream of that dream job that I had, from middle school, all of a sudden lost its taste. And God's mission became what I hungered for. And so how cool was that to be in a place like Epic that could just help that to flourish? And you helped that to flourish, my friend. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I got into ministry.
I know this isn't where we're going, but I just had this moment of remembering your baptism.
Yeah.
And that wasn't it outside in the hot tub?
It was in the hot tub. Yeah.
And I can still picture that day, man. It was beautiful. And where you're at now, everything that you've been through since then.
Yeah.
You've been in ministry now full time for 6 years, almost seven.
That's right.
And just amazing to watch how God has used you through the years. And so encouraged by your ministry. Brings me
it's been such a blessing, I'll tell you. It's been so meaningful and so challenging. So,
oh yeah, you've got some challenges.
No doubt.
fill us in a little bit more on why, just for you,
mm-hmm.
church multiplication is a value, a high value for you.
Well, you know, one of the blessings of being at Epic was I got raised up in this DNA of multiplication. But I think when I see what Jesus is up to, throughout Scripture, it always seems to be this focus on multiplication. And I just recently, I could almost sum it up in a story. Recently, we had our men's retreat that we have every year. And we brought in one of our church plants that were there. And there were about 15 guys that joined us while we were there. And I just remember thinking, these guys had such an energy. All of them were new to the faith. All these people were far from Christ. It reminded me of where I was, quite honestly, not too long ago. But I'm thinking, you know, with church plants, you see these people kind of come in bulk. We're Epic now. They kind of trickle in, these people who are far from Christ. And we get to make an impact on their life. But with church planting, I mean, just the bulk of people, the bulk of their people are far from Christ, and they're making such a difference and such an impact on the community. That's where my heart is. I want to make a regional impact, definitely on my community, but even in the community surrounding me. Multiplication has been in my blood since I've been at Epic, and it will continue because of that, I guess. I love to see our whole region, not just our community, transformed for Christ. And I guess that's where my heart is.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it really comes all back to reaching people who are far from God. You know,
it does.
That's the reason. I mean, there's no other reason for it. You know, other reason we would sacrifice as much as we do. You know, it's not the. I know sometimes church planting might have this perception of like, oh, that's the cool thing to do or the trendy thing. And it's like, no.
No, it isn't really that. Not. And I think
it's the hard thing to do. That's what it is.
Oh, absolutely. And when I think about Epic, it's never been on my heart, and I don't think it's ever been in Epic's heart, if I'm speaking for the whole church, to be this church of massive size. We're not going to be a church that's going to collect the region in our space. Yeah. Or even with our leaders. So if we're going to make a regional impact, we're probably not going to do it here. The way that we're going to do it is to be ascending, planting, multiplying the church.
You got it.
That's what's been in my heart since the beginning. I feel like God is calling us to make a regional impact. We're just not going to be this massive church that's going to be able to do it that way. So if we're still going to be able to do it, we're going to have to send and we're going to have to plant churches.
Right on. And that's a great paradigm shift that I think a lot of leaders are going through right now because of the way communities are wired. There's less of a desire for the regional church, even though that has its purpose and it'll carry on. But there's more of this movement towards the community that you're in, you know, and it might be a small community and there, you know, people are buying local. It's, you know, there's the movement for that. In fact, new subdivision developments are actually being built around certain things like grocery stores, and so that people can actually buy local and shop local, not have to even have a vehicle. They can just bike to where they want to go. And so that's an interesting shift in our culture. And so many leaders are, you know, recognizing like, hey, we can't just expect everyone to come into our community. They might not even be their community. You know, we got to go to them and we got to figure out a way to multiply out. And that's exactly what you're doing. So, love that picture. You know, it is difficult to create that culture of multiplication, and you've done a fabulous job. You know, and it was in the DNA of the church. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we planted our first church before we were 3 years old, Pathway. And, so it was there, but taking it beyond year five, when you picked up, and moving beyond year 10 now, I think Epic celebrated 10, 11 years, something like that.
Yeah, 10 or 10 year was last summer.
Yeah. Yeah. So to carry that multiplication vision forward through those years, when it's more common for churches to say, you know, we got to go inward now and we got to be about us. We got to protect ourselves. We got to, you know, just focus on our thing. But to, you know, move your whole, the whole church into this multiplication mindset, that's hard to do. Can you give us any insight on how you've been able to do that? And I'm sure it's not all nice and pretty for you, but, like, what are some practical things that have helped you create that culture of multiplication?
Yeah, let me give you a couple things, I guess, that are kind of practical. One is just the verse that I felt God had put on my heart when I came, and I share it every year with our partners, what we would call our members, partners, and leadership, is just this image of Joshua. And how he was just had so much momentum in the church and was such a great leader of the church for, you know, of the nation of Israel for a long time. And then, you know, he passes away. And we see in the beginning of Judges there that after he goes, the next generation, you know, knows not the Lord and or the way of the Lord. And, you know, that's something that has just been on my heart for this community for a long time. And so I cast this vision continuously that if we're going to, if we're going to not do that and not have the next generation raised up, we got to always be looking outward. And so I'm always trying to cast that vision. Practically, there are a couple of things that we do that just keeps our heartbeat on church planting. The first, which is often the gasper, I think, from pastors when they hear, is that we give 10% of everything that we receive in our tithes and offerings to church planting. And that takes a lot of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of temptation there, I think, to pull away from that at times when the budget gets low. But I think keeping that in the budget always keeps us focused. You know, I think Jesus says, you know, where your heart is, your money's going to follow. Ooh. And I think just for us, it's almost the opposite. We're going to continue to give to it even when it hurts, because that's where our heart is. And so giving that 10% actually keeps us focused on
really good.
Yeah. And then, but we've also now, this just starting last year, we started to cast this vision that if we're going to give 10% of our money to church planning, why not 10% of our people? Mm-hmm. And so that's been the thing too. We've been, you know, we're preparing our body and hopefully they're getting the expectation that 10% of them at least are going to be sent out for church planning as well. So our money and our people, and just keeping people focused on this is really our vision. You know, we went through the process at the 10 year of saying, hey, we're 10 years old now. What are we going to do for the next 10 years? And we broke it down to two different things. We're going to transform not only our community, but we're going to transform other communities. And we're going to do that by sending people out. And we're going to develop leaders and develop people who are willing to go. And so that's been a big part of our vision. And so we just continuously cast that vision and keep it in front of people. I worry sometimes about fatigue. if I can be honest with you, because I don't want to make it all sound like roses. In fact, it's definitely not. It's tough. And I worry sometimes if people don't get fatigued by hearing about how we're not only, you know, sometimes we're casting that vision. We're always talking about our community and then the next community and then the next community. And I think sometimes, you know, especially with our story, and I think we'll get there in a minute, but, you know, people can get a little fatigued. And so we're just trying to make that balance of, you know, this community is still very important to us. But if we're going to reach lost people, which is really our priority and our mission, then we got to be looking at other communities as well.
And, you know, that is a good point. I think one of the best scriptures to rely on is that Acts 1:8, man, when Jesus said, go into Jerusalem.
Yes.
And Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And it's like this outward progression. And what does it look like for a church to be strategic in all of those realms? So
simultaneously would be
simultaneously.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure that out, but you know, I mean, it is true. I think you can't neglect your own community.
No.
For multiplication.
No, sure can't. And we could err on that side of,
absolutely,
you know, oh, we're just all about this, you know, church planning piece, and we're sending people. But there's a very clear sense, I think, of mission that must happen in Jerusalem. You know, you can't forget about Jerusalem.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as I talk to other church planters and just people who have a heart for multiplication, it is something that they struggle with, to be rooted into a zip code, but also be focused on multiplication is a tension and a struggle.
And a lot of times you're dealing with people who may have more of an apostolic gift mix.
Yes.
And so they see a region, they don't see their community. They're not as passionate about the community as they are the region. And so when someone has high apostolic gifts, that's probably a signal right there, the way you can start to pick up the way they're talking.
Absolutely.
And they need to be guided in a certain way and sometimes refocused to say, hey, Jerusalem does matter too. Mm-hmm. You are in a Jerusalem, and you know, don't get carried away fully. You know,
yes,
so that is amazing, and we need more people who think regionally, but then always, you know, still, hey, I'm a local guy too. You know, somewhere I'm local.
Yeah, absolutely. If we're not transforming communities, you know, then what are we doing even with church planting? We can continue to plant churches, but we need to make sure that we're reaching lost people and transforming communities.
Exactly. And, you know, that's good for all of us to hear. And I'd like to get into a little bit more of that story you mentioned involved Awakened Church, which was just launched last October of 2016.
Yeah.
And this new work came about in a partnership really with Greenhouse Planting Network, which I should mention is something that you co-lead right now too.
Correct.
So the Greenhouse Planting Network is a network of churches that are planting collectively. And so they've got a lot of strength together, and it's really been amazing what Greenhouse has done through the years, and just has continually been planting and networking teams together. So you're co-leading that, but then you took the Awaken project on kind of personally because you felt close to that community, for one, because you used to live there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't all that far away from Epic, maybe 20 miles or so.
Yeah, 15 miles or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you jumped in and kind of took more ownership over that. And
yeah, it was definitely a collective effort, but we felt like just the location to us and my own personal affinity for the community over there, that we wanted to be a adoptive parent, if you will, to Awaken.
Yeah. So tell us about that. How did that go down?
Yeah. So that was, you know, that was probably the real challenge for us last year. We had just come, the interesting thing is we'd just come out of the year before that, our space here in Portland got hit by a tornado, tore the roof off. We were meeting in tents and things, you know, for the summer in a park. And we were just challenged by that, but had this opportunity to really get back into our own space, but then really focus on mission. And it felt good to focus on mission for a change, you know, as opposed to where are we going to meet and the logistics of that. You know, got connected with the church planner, Steve Hubbard, who I just loved to death and just really believe in him and his leadership. And, you know, challenged, I think, our body to this was for the first time where we said, we're not just going to give our resources and our money to it, even though we're going to do that because we believe in it. But really, we want to give our most valuable resource, which is our people. And how can I, you know, what I wanted to do is challenge the body to let's not only give 10% of our money into church planning, but let's give 10% of our people as well. And so we started to look for people who were in that area, and we're a body of about 250 or so, about 300 people maybe at the time. And so we were shooting to give from 25 to 30 people away to Awaken. And so we started to challenge people who live closer in that vicinity, and then just, you know, started to challenge people who felt called to go. And that's how it went. Steve spent some time here, and then we were able to send them into a new community.
Yeah. Yeah. So he did part of his residency, church planting residency with you.
He did.
And then, he was without those people, like he was a pure parachute church planner. And he yes. was when he first moved in, because he didn't know anybody. He just felt God had spoken grand ledge to him. And so
he called to the area.
Yeah. And then later these people, get drawn in too, but they really, like, if we're honest, like if you hadn't challenged them and said, you all need to go. And I know you had a moment in a worship service where like you laid out that call and, people responded, and I think about that number that went to be part of the startup team, you know, and so that was a huge blessing, but it was also a huge sacrifice on your end, because some of those people were probably pretty good givers, weren't they?
I would say most were the best of the best.
Oh.
And so, can I'll just speak to that for a minute, yeah, because I think
that's the tension, sending church leaders.
There's the mentality that we are losing people and losing money. And I think in order to be successful and to be a sending church, you know, one of the mentalities that we have to shift to is we're not losing anything. We're not losing people. We're not losing money. We're investing people and we're investing money. And we're just doing that in the next community over. So we really try to see it not as a loss, but as an investment. And I think that has changed everything. And when we hear the stories that come back from Awaken, and you know they just baptized 5 people for Easter,
yeah,
it's like that investment was worth it, you know. And that's what just fulfills us.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And there's no doubt that it took some sacrifice, and you poured a lot of resources, a lot of people, time, energy. You took Steve on kind of personally as a young. I guess you could say disciple, and kind of mentored him and began to at least speak, you know, words of life into him, be that source of encouragement. And
tried to encourage him. Yeah, I think he probably taught me more than anything, but I tried to encourage him along the way and affirm him in his calling, you know.
Yeah. So there's a lot of joys in that process.
Yeah.
A lot of sacrifice, though, too. It happened, like Awaken launched, and you know, it all flowed relatively well. It was still in the early phase, but they're doing incredible things. I know they're getting ready to send out they sent out 2 church planters.
They have, yeah.
The 2 different since they launched.
Yes.
And we're talking like within 9 months. You know, they already commissioned 2 church planters out who were doing residencies with them. How cool is that?
Yeah.
So they planted pregnant in a way, which is really kind of neat. And so they're being sent out and starting some new works too. The thing that happened after Awaken launches, there was another surprise that came your way. Tell us about that.
We had just launched Awaken, I think, in the fall, and probably maybe it was 6 weeks, maybe it was 2 months later. I had been approached by a gentleman from the next town over, and I met with him and his pastor, and they had given me the story of how their church had just kind of dwindled. They'd been hurt by some things, some church split things that had happened, and they just weren't able to recover. And they were looking for somebody that could not just come alongside them, I guess, in partnership, but really take over the space. They wanted to gift the space, but they wanted to gift it to somebody who was going to start a new work there, who could get something going in their community. So they had approached us because of that, I think, because we had a reputation in the region and knew that we liked to start new works. And so, so we began that conversation, and it wasn't an easy decision by any means. But shortly after that, they had gifted us the space, to start a new work there. There's a couple of, I'm sure you'll get there. There's a couple of caveats here. Number one, this space is in the next town to us, which is about 7 miles away. It's about halfway between us and Awaken that we had just launched. All of our people that are in that area, we had just sent to Awaken.
Yeah.
So we were worried about that a little bit. Also, it is in a rural area. I mean, very, even smaller than Portland isn't the biggest town. We're, just under 4,000 people. Eagle proper is about 150 people, if you can imagine. And then the surrounding area, a few hundred. But it's a great location right off the highway. But that was a tension for us as well. It's very close to Portland, very close to Awaken, about halfway. We had just sent all of our people to Awaken. So what were we going to do? That was the question. Mm-hmm. So we wrestled with that for a while. We wrestled with, and it really came down to this, if I could say anything, as we were wrestling with what were we going to do with the space and could we even possibly start a new work there in the space, it came down to who else is going to go there and who's going to make this a reality. That town, the surrounding area around there, about 10 miles or so, has the potential to reach about 20,000 people who don't know Jesus and who are lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we've planted, we've planted three churches at this point. We have experience doing it. We don't know it all by any means, but we've done it before. And if anybody's going to plant a church there in this town, I mean, who's going to go after these people if not us?
Yeah.
And that's what it came down to, I think, for me and for our lead team. We just, we want to reach lost people. We want to do it in this region. And if we're not going to do it, who has the same heart that we do?
Yeah.
And that we decided to go for it. It's crazy to think about. It's still crazy. Mm-hmm. Because we're in the midst of it. We're in the midst of remodeling that space and, making it a thing, but it's, we're going after it. And so we'll see, maybe you can have me back on in a year and we can tell how that story.
We will.
<ends up. laughs>
Yeah. That's just amazing though. I mean, to think about like, this was, you had just felt like you had sacrificed everything, and we never give to get back, even in tithing, that's not our perspective. But then it was like, I don't know, God just had a plan to provide Epic with more resources so it could continue to multiply, is that not the heart of God or what?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. And I think, if you get caught up in that mentality of we just don't have enough, or, what is it going to take for us to do it again? I think the answer almost always is we just don't. We never have enough. We never have enough people. We never have enough money coming in to do it. The town's never big enough. You can get caught up in that, I think.
Don't have enough resources.
Absolutely.
I find that amazing because there is sometimes like, good-hearted church leaders, sometimes move into scarcity thinking, you know, yeah. and that kind of holds it back. Or maybe they began as a church that wanted to be a church planting church, but then they just never did. And, you know, that scarcity mindset just kind of crept in. And, you know, I think God has a way of aligning things that we just all, we can't ever see. And, you know, I mean, that's the step of faith that it takes. It takes faith, this courage to step out there, to start something new like that, and trusting that God's going to provide. And that's just the human struggle, though, isn't it? I mean, we want God to provide first, and then we'll go do it, you know?
Maybe.
In the bank. Give me some extra people that I don't know what to do with, and then we'll send them out, you know?
And you know as well as I do, that never happens.
Never happens.
You're never going to have enough to church plant. You're never going to have enough people to do it. You never have an overabundance. I mean, if you do, then you're probably not on mission, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Putting your resources to work for God's mission. And so
exactly.
It's kind of futile thinking.
And here's the deal. There's a lot of thought out there of like, you know, when we get to a certain level, then we'll multiply.
Sure.
We'll plant when we're 500 or 1,000 people. We'll campus, you know, when we reach 800, you know, it's always this kind of this next level.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if that next level will actually happen or when it's going to happen. Right. I mean, we don't really know. But the multiplication plans are based on reaching something else, you know, and I think we're seeing more and more smaller churches getting into the multiplication game and realizing, you know, the best way for us to become a regional influence here is actually to send and be the ones that are taking the initiative and going and saying, we're not expecting everyone just to come to us. And we're actually okay with, we might continue to be a church of 200 if we're always spending off 10%. That is actually pretty positive. So that picture though is rare, and we're challenged by that though. I think, you know, I always felt that challenge myself, and sometimes you just wonder, you know. I remember when we planted Pathway, our first church, within the first 3 years of our plant, because we were, you know, I don't know who said it, but probably goes to Ed Stetzer, who, if you don't know, is a church planting expert, missiologist. Where I think it was him that said, if you don't plant a church within the first 3 years, you're probably not going to plant a church. And I heard that as a young church planter, and I was like, oh, we better plant a church before we're 3 years old. And, you know, somehow the Lord had it all planned out, and had a great, great guy come through that actually did that new work. And we sent out like 20 people, a lot of our best givers, sent out like, we had just built up our band to a level that, like, it was actually a really good band. And then we sent out.
Good about it. Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying.
Sent out the drummer, yeah. The bassist, the guitarist.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this hurts.
Yeah. I don't know why, but that's the hardest.
Oh,
the band is the hardest to give away.
Not my drummer. Anybody but my drummer. And anyways, We did it, you know, and then, you know,
I'm sure that first time of sending probably is probably the hardest, but it also sets the tone.
It does.
Because again, it's like, we're going to send before we're ready, whatever that means, you know, whatever ready means, but we're going to send before we're ready. And then since then, we've done that every time. We've always sent before we're ready, you know, and that's how I look at this project in the next town in Eagle.
Yeah.
Is we're going to do it.
Before. Though. That's the amazing thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, every time.
Even with the band situation, you know, I remember it was about within 2 weeks, actually the day of that we were sending people out, we had a bass player show up who comes up mm-hmm. to our worship leader and says, hey, I play the bass, you know, could I jump in there? Real character. And he worked out great, and he actually did plug in. And then the next week a drummer came through and was like, mm-hmm. I
think sometimes it takes those stories. Like, hey, the bass player's leaving. He's going to another community. We don't have one. Before people start to go, oh, there's a space there. There's a space there I can fill. And we saw that with Awaken as well, with the people that we sent out who were servants, who were givers. There's a space there now to be filled. And I think people recognize that and like, oh, I can step up. I can do that. I might not have done it before when that other person was here, but I'll do it now.
Yeah.
And well, I think God is always working in people's hearts like that. Like, hey, you could do that. You know, you step up.
Yeah.
It's great for the kingdom. I think it's great for the kingdom.
So it's cool. That is another factor, you know, when you're multiplying, you know, people do step up and they're multiplying, not just by sending the church plan over there to reach more people, but also more people are entering ministry.
Absolutely.
Finding their gifts and getting more people in the game. And, and that ends up being rewarding. Tell us real quick, you just raised some funds. We just had an event in the Wesleyan Church called National Church Multiplication Sunday.
Yeah.
Where it was on Pentecost Sunday, and we were casting vision kind of nationally for church multiplication. And we were allowing churches to raise funds and use those funds for their initiative that they're taking on. And so you took that on, and tell us about that. How much did you raise?
We raised about $45,000 for this new work in Eagle.
$45,000. What?
In a very, you know, in a body our size is pretty incredible.
That is incredible.
You know, and that was with pledges as well. And we had a matching grant that helped. But, you know, I think what National Church Multiplication Sunday does is just gives us another excuse, which we are always looking for excuses, to cast vision for multiplication.
Yeah.
So, you know, it gives us a chance not only to talk about what we had already done with the church plants and the communities that we were reaching. New people need to hear that, you know, from time to time and say, hey, what are you about? Gave us that excuse to cast that vision and say, look, these are the communities we're reaching, and we're looking at reaching one more. And now it's time for you, you know, to step up and to be a part and to invest in that next community. And it really gave us that opportunity to do it. I loved taking part in it. I love any excuse to talk about multiplication. So it was great. And the people really responded, you know, and we're a little bit over halfway to our goal of having that renovated debt-free. So it's a blessing. And it was just a powerful day for us. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, as I said in the beginning, I love how God has used you through the years, and it's clear his calling's on you, and you've taken on a big challenge and done a fabulous job. So I believed in you 6 years ago, and I still believe in you, and just so grateful for your leadership in the church. We need you, man, and we need others like you. So thanks for being an example.
Thanks for having me on here today. I really appreciate it.
Well, signing off here, thanks for being with us, Dwayne. You can find Dwayne Bauer online. Epic's website is www.epic-community.org if you want to check out what they're up to. But thanks for being with us, Dwayne. Appreciate you, brother. And we will sign off. Thanks, everybody, for listening in on this podcast. And we'll see you next time. Yeah.